So can we formally now start the meeting? And I've popped the agenda up on the top right-hand corner. First item, or unless there's anything to change on the agenda, because I hadn't circulated it earlier, but if anyone else has anything to add or delete or change, no. Okay, we'll move straight into item one. Present and apologies. Christina, can you let us know who's on the call and who has apologised?
Yep. From Session of Soul, we have Martin Boyle, Ricky Burr, Keith Davidson, Stephen Deerhaig, Dan Jukic, Daniel Kalchev, Nigel Roberts, Phil Semik, Dottie Sparks LeBlanc. And from Liaisons, we have Maureen Hilliard and Cheryl Langdon-Orr. From Staff Support and Special Advisors, we have Bart Fossinkel, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Tarkat. Apologies have been received from Jaap Akkerhuis, Kim Davies, Eberhard Lisse, Suzanne Riddell, and from Patricia Pugletta for lateness. He's going to join later, probably. That's all.
Thank you. Any further apologies received by anyone? If not, the meeting reports, Bernie, thankfully, circulated two meeting reports, the 18th of July, which we hadn't yet approved, and the 12th of September. I'm just wondering if anyone has anything arising out of those meeting reports that isn't otherwise going to be covered. If not, can we consider those two meeting reports accepted? And move on to the topic of revocation, and over to you, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Can everyone hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. So this is, unfortunately, people will not be able to scroll since I'm sharing my screen. We're having some difficulty loading this document for some reason. So I'll just, excuse me, I'll be your driver in this document for today. This is Revocation Public Consultation Version 1.1. As described in the notes, this incorporates Becky's proposed changes after 1.0 was put out, as well as the results of the last meeting on September 12th. So, let's start from the top. Revocation defined as minor edit, unless someone has an issue. Okay, I'll reduce the size just a bit, so maybe we can get a bit more in. Can everyone read that also?
It's getting pretty...
Sir, since I'm in full... Okay, so that's why... Like that?
That's better.
Okay. Since you can see my full screen, you can see that I cannot see anything from the Adobe interface. So on my side, I'm flying blind. So I'll count on you, Keith, to stop me and get me going if there is a need to.
Sure.
So... here there are some edits. If a manager is designated engaged in substantial behavior or there are persistent problems in the operation of the CCTLD and the CCTLD manager is unwilling or unable to rectify the problems to the reasonable satisfaction that should be of the IANA operator and or stop the another spelling the offending conduct, the IANA operator may propose a transfer. Now, I don't think that's a significant difference from anything we talked about earlier. It's just some rewording. I'll assume that's okay unless someone wants to stop.
No.
The next one. I did not get that, Keith, sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of latency on this line, I think. Nigel's indicating a tick of happiness. No one else is raising any issues, so let's assume everyone's happy.
Excellent. Good point. If the incumbent manager does not consent to a proposed transfer, the only mechanism available to the IN operator to deal with ultimately intractable problems is revocation. I think, again, those are reasonable edits. Any issues with that?
Doesn't appear to be. Oh, Bill Simich has just raised his hand. So, Bill. Oh, Bill, we can't hear you, of course. Oh, Bill's saying, why include incumbent here and not in the previous bullet?
That's a good point. Either way is fine by me. I guess Becky would be the one to have a comment on that.
Yeah.
Either we remove incumbent or we add it to the previous bullet.
Yeah, Becky's typing at the moment. No, I can't hear you at all, Becky. Bill suggesting removing the word incumbent from the second bullet point. Becky is typing. Nigel is typing. Becky's saying okay to removing the incumbent. Nigel, are you objecting to... It's going to be a long, slow meeting if we're dealing by text chat all the way through. Christina, is there something different with the audio? I'm not sure why people aren't able to speak.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
Okay.
It seems to be a phone line problem mostly. People should be able to connect through Adobe now if they want to, and can always call in through Skype using the American dial-in number.
Yeah. Well, Becky's redialing in now. Anyway, it sounds like there is no objection to dropping the word incumbent from bullet point two, so it'll become the manager does not consent. Nigel's making...
Shall I continue, sir?
Yeah, Nigel's making a separate point, so please continue, Ben.
Okay. Point three, relevant section. Anyone's going to argue about that. Minor edits in A, introduction and objective. Again, I don't think it's worth spending a lot of time. Minor edits. And we get to 2.1.1.1, 2111, third bullet.
Well,
does 3.4.
Go to that, Benny, just before we go to that, Nigel has a hand raised. So, Nigel.
Okay, I've got a couple of procedural problems, guys. First of all, Keith, you keep disappearing, you're fading into the distance and almost impossible to hear for me on occasion. And secondly, the way this screen is being shared, I don't quite, this is different to normal. I think you're sharing screen rather than document, and it's dragging the performance of my screen down to almost nothing.
Yep. There's not much we can do about that, Nigel. For some reason, the sound seems to be particularly causing all sorts of problems this time for all sorts of people in different ways.
Okay. It's actually interesting because as you started speaking,
can you hear me now?
You were very quiet. I could hardly hear you, and then you got louder and louder and louder gradually.
That's weird.
And we have Becky.
Yes, I'm here.
And now we can hear Becky. Bernie's already apologised for the screen. That's his screen that you're seeing it's the only option tonight because we couldn't get the document to load in normal ways. So it looks like sort of a problem with Adobe Connect and a problem with the Adigo normal telephone conferencing system. So, Christina, if we could note these and see if we can get something done before the next meeting anyway.
Sure.
Anyway, back to you, or Nigel, did you have a substantial point regarding the document as well?
No, I had my hand up for the procedural thing, so I'll try and lower it now.
Okay, well, please continue, Benny.
Thank you, sir. I'll try not to move the text around, and that might lower the bandwidth requirements. 2111, this raises several questions under RFC 1591. The modification is, instead of is does 3.4 apply to the initial selection of a ccTLD manager? So there was some minor issues, but I don't think that's significant unless someone has a comment.
Nobody's...
I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah, no, nobody's seeking the floor, so please continue.
Okay, 2121. For those that weren't on the call last week, the text in yellow is the original text from the original document that was imported into the public consultation document to facilitate comparison. So that's not part of the public consultation document. It's simply part of the annotation to simplify our job. 2121, third bullet, under what circumstances would it be appropriate for the IANA operator to rescind responsibility for management of a ccTLD from a manager? So again, we've removed incumbent, so good catch, Bill, without the manager's consent. I think some practical editing that was discussed online. Are there any issues?
Nigel has his hand raised. So, Nigel. Nigel, you're on mute.
That the phrase from an incumbent manager is completely OTOs because who else would you rescind responsibility from?
Sorry, we missed the first part of what you were saying there, I think, Nigel. So can you please repeat? Nigel? Oh, in the chat, Nigel's saying he's been dumped again. I don't know if anyone understood the point Nigel was making. It seemed like...
I believe what Nigel was trying to say is that you can't rescind the responsibility for management of ccTLD from anyone but the operator. So I believe the word he used was OTOs, but that's as much as I could make of it.
Hello again.
Hi, Nigel.
Hey, Nigel's back.
Thanks. This time it was me having called in on the toll-free line on an ordinary phone line, and it still got dumped. Did you get what I said, or shall I say it again?
Yeah, no, please say it again. I think we only got half of what you said.
Okay. What I was going to say is that this is only a stylistic point, but with all this discussion about... incumbent or not, or from an incumbent manager, we missed the point that the whole phrase from an incumbent manager is completely unnecessary because who else would you rescind responsibility from?
Okay. So you're saying to amend it to responsibility for management of a ccTLD without the manager's consent?
That would appear to be a more stylistically accurate, yeah.
I think that makes a great deal of sense, and I'm not hearing any objections to that, so I think that's still tidy up the wording quite nicely. Thanks. If we can note that, Bernie, and move on.
Yes, sir. All right, here we are, which is 221, second bullet. In the case of the disputed redelegation request, where the relevant country code TLD registry is based in another country, and where there is not a contract specifying which national law should apply, the government and CCTLD should seek to find a mutually acceptable solution. Where there is evidence that local stakeholders and the Internet can support the government proposal for redelegation, but where there is no legal basis for imposing the redelegation, ICANN may contribute to identify alternative solutions to resolve the problem. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Questions, any comments, any debate? Bill has his hand raised. And Bill, you can't talk to us.
I think I can talk now. Can you hear me? Anybody hear me?
Yes, can hear you fine.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Very well.
I'll talk loud. I'm sorry to say I missed the discussion on this, but I'm trying to understand what the point of this is and make certain that all this italic is lifted directly from the GAC principles of whatever it is, 2005. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so where there is evidence that local stakeholders is also lifted from the actual document?
I don't remember that being worded that way personally. I think this was, we should ask Becky how that evolved. That was one of the modifications between 1.0 and 1.1. Becky?
I'm sorry, I was momentarily distracted. Can you tell me what the question is again?
221, second bullet. We're talking the case of disputed, the one that's on the screen right now. And Bill was asking, Bill is asking, is this a direct quote from?
This is just a quote from the GAC principles.
Okay, so it is.
That's just a quote from the GAC principles.
So it is a direct quote by the sounds of it, Bill.
Yes, it is a direct quote. It somehow, when
okay.
I texted
thank
him
you.
Originally.
Okay, so you're happy with that?
All right. Well, there's no disputation in this.
Okay. Nigel has.
Thank you.
So, Nigel. Nigel, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Can now, yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, can hear you well.
Okay, Bernie, could you take the document a little bit higher back up than it is at the moment? Okay, stop. Okay, scroll down slowly. Principle 7.1 of that document provides. Delegate, okay, slowly. Another couple of paragraphs, please. So the next bit is 7.2. So all the blue stuff is in the original 7.2 of the GAC principles, yeah?
That's what we've just said.
Yeah, I'm just reconfirming that there's probably some formatting that could be done to highlight this, like putting a box around the whole thing or something, but that's fine. Let's move on.
Okay, thanks, Nigel. Carry on, Bernie.
Yes, sir. Thank you. 222, there's been some edits. There were no issues at the last meeting. I don't see any. Again, on this segment of three, There was some minor edits. We went through it in detail at the September 12th meeting. There were no issues raised by anyone. I will pause here in case someone would like to have an issue with it at this point.
No one. Martin has his hand up. So Martin.
Thanks, Keith. It's just a little question, really. I wondered why the word formal had been removed from paragraph 4.1 and elsewhere in the document. I remember we had quite a lot of discussion about formal and not formal when we were discussing in what led up to Durban. And therefore it's a bit surprised to see it going. I'm not opposed to it going. It's just I'd like to know why it's gone.
I think that's a question for Becky. Becky.
Yes, on the last call or the two calls ago, we had a long discussion about it, and the view was that since we were talking about sort of the informal things along the way, that when we were interpreting the document, there was no distinction in the document between formal and informal, and there were only mechanisms. And that the phrase formal mechanism didn't add anything.
Okay. I think Martin's happy because he was indicating that he wasn't unhappy to see it go in any case. Surprise. So, there's no further comments or questions. Let's then proceed. Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Simply a note for participants. On those points, on the yellow header to text, if there were no issues at the meeting of September 12th, no issues at this meeting, I will republish this document as 1.2. I will note that there were no issues at this meeting, and I will also republish a version where if it has been read twice and accepted, then it'll be part of the text as clean and settled for the next meeting. All right. Section 4, analysis and interpretation. There have been some minor edits. The formal thing, I think we've just gone through that. So I don't think we're going to spend time on that. 4.1.1, that was a big issue last time. There was no consensus as per the header of the yellow text. Becky proposed a definition for delegation that we had agreed to move it off the list because we did not think we could do this online. I tend to agree. I have not seen any contributions to defining delegation. So we're back to what Becky proposed. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Benny. Any comments, any questions? Any dissent from Becky's wording? Nigel has the same race. So, Nigel.
Well, first of all, I'll mention that somebody else, I don't know if it was Eberhardt or somebody else, was objecting to the circularity of this, which is a time-honoured tradition when you have got some difficulty in defining something. I think delegation needs to be a lot more precise than this. There's a whole draft paper that Richard Francis did back 8 or 10 years ago, which I sent to the list some many moons back, which could probably provide some assistance. Delegation is problematic in that different people object to it for different reasons. It is used in RFC 1591, and it is used in different senses. Delegation, as a technical term of art, simply means inserting NS records. So at one point, you've got John Postel talking about delegation and meaning the act of making the domain live on the internet. In others, he talks about it in terms of meaning the creation of the domain. And because he was thinking of it as almost one and the same operation, and not thinking of it in the sort of quasi-legalistic terms that we're thinking of it nowadays, we do need to make the point here that delegation does not imply subservience, but simply refers to the act of creating a new top-level domain. How we define that, I don't mind, but as long as we get that point across, I'm happy.
Are you volunteering to work on something like a footnote?
Can I just add something here?
Yeah, sure, Vicky.
We can do that, but I deliberately picked that to be parallel to the definition of revocation that we debated a long, long time. So, I mean, we talked about revocation as, you know, rescinding management responsibility. I think, well, the way in which we use delegation here is about designating somebody for management responsibility. And if we're going to turn it into a meaning to get put into the record, we have to be careful that we don't change a whole bunch of meanings.
But Becky, I'm in total agreement with you here. Having gone through 1591 in great detail, it's very clear that the word delegation is used both in its technical sense and in the sense of designation. So we have to be very, very careful here. I don't really object to what you've written here, but we just need to be careful that we don't... I just want to get something in here that says delegation is not bound. Ow. That went straight in my ear.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Sorry. You were saying, Nigel.
Yeah. So. I actually don't object to where 4.1.1, whatever you subsequently number it, goes. But I just want to get something in here that delegation does not mean, as in, I delegate you to be my attorney.
Okay, so the subservient sense of it. Do you want to work on some on a suitable
Sir.
Footnote?
Keith?
Yes.
If I may, first of all, to Eberhard's point on interpreting delegation initially delegates, I sort of agree. Can we try, and Becky can comment on that, the operator initially assigns management responsibility, transfers previously assigned responsibility for the management of a CCTLD. Would that be okay, Becky and Nigel?
If you take all the inverted commas...
That's my first point.
Fine by me.
Okay. The second point, a little similarly to what we did in consent, I think we qualified... what's that section? I don't remember. Where, we said this clearly does not mean that as a note. Follow that model here in a very similar way, I think, and that would meet Nigel's requirement. And I think we can do that fairly easily and get that out onto the list either later this week or Monday.
Okay.
If that's an option that people are comfortable with.
Okay. Nigel's indicating agreement with that, but Bill has his hand raised. So, Bill.
I'm hoping you can hear me. I think we're running into a kind of a problem that we had earlier on the use of the word trust or trustee, because this is a word
exactly.
That has two different meanings in the community. One is to delegate the domain in the domain service, and the other is in the long-standing knowledge or understanding of it as being assigning the management role. And I think maybe your idea of the note might make these two concepts, might differentiate these two concepts in a way that it's not confusing.
Yes, you hit exactly. I had forgotten the word I was hopelessly grasping for was the trustee issue we did in consent. So I think if we replace delegates with assigns and we put in a similar footnote as we did in trustee, I think we answer all the concerns and we can move forward. So what I'm proposing is that we'll draft this text ASAP and get it out on the list, since it's very important to everyone, so that there can be some solid debate for a number of days before the next meeting, if that one.
Okay. I think, Bill's saying he's happy with that as a concept, so nobody's objecting. So, Bernie, I think you've got a mandate to carry on drafting and on that.
Oh, no, not just me. Me and my partner in crime, Becky, who is the steward of the drafting at this point, I will ask nicely if I can steal some of her time again.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you, ma'am, for agreeing to that.
Another willing volunteer. Thanks, Becky. Okay, so I think we can move on. Thanks, Bernie.
Okay, our second major point is 412, the FOI Working Group interprets RFC 1591 to require the consent of an incumbent manager to a transfer. Accordingly, the, and not the, FOI Working Group interprets the term transfer to refer to the process by which the IANA operator responsibility from an incumbent manager to a new manager with the consent of both parties. So, this is new text. There was no consensus similar to the previous point. Over to you, sir. Although I will say just in closing that if I remember correctly, the only problem Eberhardt had was to define transfer using transfer, and that the rest of the text fine by him, if I remember correctly.
Nobody's seeking the floor. Any comments, any questions, any clarifications? Is everybody happy? Let's assume everybody's happy then, Bernie, and please continue. It seems to be a reasonably elegant...
Everyone is happy with the...
Sorry, Bill's just raised his hand, so Bill.
Yes. I still have a kind of a question on this, which I probably haven't raised for several months. But in this particular context, it's the IANA, which is the motivator of the transfer. But more generally, when you think it would be the managers, the old manager and the extent of the management's role, who would initiate the transfer. So I'm a little concerned about making this the kind of role that only IANA can perform. Obviously, a manager can contact IANA and said, we're proposing the following transfer, the same as they would transfer name servers.
Sir, if I can.
Yes.
Unless, Becky, you want to give a more enlightened version of what I'm going to say. Basically, given we've got the key word consent in here, and we have barbed wire, electrified, and guard dogs around the meaning consent, especially relative to transfer, I'm not overly worried about that, Bill. I sort of understand your point, but, you know, if we go back almost 2 years at this point, we've got consent so well nailed down that using this terminology here I do not see as creating any kind of a gap that you are worried about. At least that's what I interpret what you're saying. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, I think our Bill's indicating a tick of happiness with the explanation. So I think that means we have agreement and we can therefore continue then.
Okay, agreement would be to the text as is or to try and fix the Eberhardt issue of not using transfer to define transfer. I'm unclear on that point, sir.
Okay, Bill, are you happy with the text as it is?
Yeah, I'm. As I said, this is something I raised years ago, and I know we've covered this over quite well. Well, I just raise it again to make, I guess, to remind myself that we've covered it well. Thanks.
Okay. So please continue, Danny.
All right, so we'll keep transfer with transfer, and just we'll publish it at the same time as the delegation text, just to make sure everyone is having an okay time with this. 512 at the top of your page is essentially the same. And Nigel had some issues on the format. We're at 413. The working group interprets the term revocation to refer to the process by which the IN operator rescinds responsibility for management of a CTLD from an incumbent manager. So we have consensus, but we had, Nigel, some issues on format, and I think we can work those offline unless there's an urgent need to do that at this point. And part of the format issue, I remember, is the quotes versus italics and things, and yes, we've noted that. Haven't shoved it into this document yet, but we will finish getting there.
Okay.
I'm not hearing anything, so I'll... Okay. Over to you, sir.
No one's seeking the floor, so please continue, Danny.
All right, thank you, sir. 414. There were some minor edits, and we had agreed to review on the list where the IANA operator's informal efforts to stop a substantial misbehavior, yes, there was the quote issue, by a CCTLD manager or rectify persistent problems in the operation of a CCTLD are unavailing, comma, unless the manager consents to a transfer, comma, revocation is the only formal mechanism. We should probably remove the form, available to the IANA operator to deal with intractable problems. So there were minor edits versus the original text, which is in yellow, 514, right below it. I have not seen, or I don't remember seeing discussion on this. I think it's sort of such minor edits, they don't strike me as changing the meaning of what we're doing, so I'd like some comments on that if we're okay here.
Nobody's got any comments, I think we can continue, Bernie.
Okay, so what I will do is I will note that text as okay with the participants at this meeting, and they'll be considered the first acceptance of the required two. 415, there were changes, but it was simply to accommodate the new document format. There was consensus at the previous meeting. I do not see why this should cause anyone any heartburn. I'm not hearing anything. I will carry on. 4.2, identical on that point. 4.2.1, we have removed designated, so except for that, it's essentially the same and was accepted. There's a note there, yes, we have to include something regarding the central IR. The bulleted points under 4.2.1 are essentially identical, and there was consensus at the previous meeting. I don't think there should be a lot of discussion on that. Is there anything?
Nobody's seeking the floor, so continue, Bernie.
Thank you. 4.2.2. Again, minor edits. Explicitly replaces clearly revocation with a capital R. Consensus at the previous meeting. I do not see this causing heartburn to anyone again. Going once, going twice,
everybody, yep,
going three times. All right, so this will be the second reading of that text. 4.2.3, there were major edits, and there was consensus at the September 12th meeting. We'll read it one more time just to make sure. The IANA operator has not publicly identified, instead of stated, the standards removed by which, so the stand will use to evaluate compliance with the requirements set out in RFC 1591.3.5. In order to evaluate whether or not a manager is doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain, ccTLD, or B, there are persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, full stop. So, although there were major edits, I do not believe there was any intent or the result changes the meaning of what we had in 5.2.2.1 in the original text from analysis V10. Any comments?
Nigel's indicating that he finds it satisfactory, and nobody else is speaking before, and I might just comment that I think it is quite an elegant wording now that seems to encapsulate what was quite tricky, so well done. And I think we can move on.
All right, so 4.2.3, this would be considered the second reading and therefore would become part of the standard text. Moving on, 4.2.3.1, it's all in blue, but it's essentially identical. 5.2.2.3 from the original text was dropped because it was redundant, and there was consensus of the September 12th meeting, which I've noted twice, and I guess it must have been large consensus. So on text that's essentially identical, we usually don't spend a lot of time, and I will just simply move on.
Yep.
4.2.3.2. There we have major edits. With respect to any standards that may be published by the IANA operator, the FOI working group interprets RFC 1591 to require the IANA operator to avoid actions that determine the stability and security of the DNS and or the continuing operation of the domain. Now, in the yellow header, we have major edits. There was consensus at the meeting of the 12th, except on the IANA operator for Nigel that was not happy with the use of the term IANA operator. I don't think there was any significant discussion on the list. There had been a fair amount of discussion previous to this point, so I am uncertain how we want to handle it at this point, in that if there is additional discussions to be had on the term IANA operator, we can note that in the text we'll be putting out Friday or Monday, and then people can comment on it. I'm not sure we want to spend a lot of time on it at this point. Over to you, sir.
Nobody's actively seeking the floor, including Nigel, so I'll assume that the general satisfaction, unless someone wants to speak. No, I think everybody's happy, so please proceed, Ben.
Okay, so 4.2.3.2, this will be the second reading. Thank you. 4.3, substantial misbehavior. 4.3.1, there were minor edits, and I think you can see those on the page. I don't really warrant that I don't think this warrants discussion. There was consensus of September 12th. Unless there is discussion now, this will be a second reading of those changes. Going once, going twice.
Everyone's happy.
All right. Now we're in the bulleted points. They were separated because of the edits. There were some edits, but it's essentially the same, and it was accepted at September 12th. I don't know if there are any questions. So this will be a second reading of the first bulleted. One, two, three. I'll move on at this point. The two other bulleted points are classified as essentially identical and were accepted September 12th. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them unless someone has some issue with that. Going once, going twice, done. 4-3-1-1. We've got the text there. It was a minor edit, confirmed that was removed. The IANA name issue and the fact that this text from the original text was split into two parts. This was explained to people. We will find the second part a little later and was generally accepted. Any comments? Going once, going twice. Done. So this would be the second reading of 4-3-1-1, and therefore will become part of the standard text for this. 4-3-1-1-1, the same except on consensus. So this was the second part we were talking about. It's the same text. Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Unless there are specific points, going once, going twice, done. 4-3-1-1, this was one, this was the second reading. Thank you.
Just a minute.
Sir?
Bernie, Nigel is speaking before us, so Nigel.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Nigel.
I take it mutes off.
It is now, yes.
Okay, there's something that we could add here, which does not change or detract from what's stated in 4.3.1.1.1. And that's based on what John himself used to do, as I know from personal knowledge, is that where it was impractical or even impossible for the administrative contact to reside in the territory represented by the two-letter code, he considered the RFC 5091 requirement to be fulfilled if the administrative contact resided in the country. In other words, for example, a penguin rock in the middle of nowhere that was either British or American territory would be fulfilled if the admin contact was either in the UK or in the United States. And that's actually a valid interpretation of the plain words. It says country or territory.
Sir?
Yes, Ben.
This was touchy for a lot of people, although I don't disagree with Nigel. I think we've gone backwards and forwards on this clause, and we had agreement on what is up on the screen there. I'm not sure.
I'm happy to leave it.
What, Nigel?
Sorry.
As one of your editors, we've got one win on this. We got approval with removing the last sentence, and I would leave it as it is unless there is a huge requirement to do it.
But Bernie, I'm sorry for interrupting just then. I think there's a significant delay on transmission, significant hysteresis that caused that. My apologies for that. I'm happy to leave well alone. It's just that rereading this, it just totally struck me that you can interpret the word country or territory to mean country.
So,
no, we've got to win. Leave it well alone. Just, it's an observation in passing, no more.
Okay, and just noting...
Thank you, sir.
Noting, too, that Bill is saying, let's let sleeping dogs lie, and is indicating a tick, so let's move on.
Thank you. So this will be considered the second reading of 43.111 and become part of the standard text. Thank you. 43.112, the requirement for an in-country administrative contact did not appear before 1994 when it was first introduced by RFC 1591. Therefore, this requirement may not be expected of these established or class redelegated before the publication of that RFC. And basically, this was noted as there were significant edits to line it up, like we've removed country code top-level domains, which is the source of the significant edit note, but it does not the meaning. I actually have a point on this after others will make it. Sir, over to you.
Okay. Nigel had his hand up, but no, I think it was just from before. And, so any comments? Any discussion? No comments or discussion?
Just for consistency and... I believe we've agreed to ban the word redelegated, so we should probably change redelegated to transferred before the publication of that RFC.
Okay. And Bill is indicating happiness, and Nigel is indicating happiness, so and no one else is seeing the floor, so let's move on. Thanks, Benny.
All right, so I do not consider changing redelegated for transfer to be a significant change. We will consider this the second reading of this point, but we will note it in the document quite well. 432, forgot to kill the D. The manager, the trustee, just made it into a quote from the original text. I don't think there's a point to discussing that. 4321 is the text we used in transfer, which we were talking about earlier, and basically it's the way it's presented, but it's the same as 4321, 4322, and there was consensus at the previous meeting. I don't know if there are any questions at this point.
No one seeking the floor. Nigel is indicating a tick, but I think that's a tick from before. Or it might be still. But anyway, no discussion required.
All right, 4321, 4322, this will be considered second reading. Thank you. 4333, again, remove designated. From the header in the yellow, from V10, major edits because split, otherwise the same. So, consensus at the September 12th meeting. So, basically, it was a long text. If we go look at it here, and this is where we stopped at the last meeting, okay? So, basically, there was agreement that we could split that very long paragraph. And then we did that. And we have 4331, which is purple on your screen, which is where we stopped at the last meeting. So we will slow things down just slightly here because this is where we stopped last time, and I want to make sure that everyone is comfortable and that we have good readings of text. So, let us go back to 4333. Are there any issues with the fact that we've split? Otherwise, it's exactly the same text.
I've just put the text into the chat screen. Nigel was saying that it was unreadable, I guess, because of the purple.
We're not in 4331 right now. I'm just doing 433. Hearing none, I think it's okay. And for those that can't read 4331, I will read it anyways. The FOI Working Group interprets the requirement that the manager be equitable to all groups in the domain as obligating the manager to make its registration policies accessible and understandable to prospective applicants and to apply these policies in an impartial manner, treating similarly situated would-be registrants in the same manner. So in analysis from V10, we state that this is essentially identical, 4331. So it's just the notion that we've split that original paragraph from V10 into two. Everyone okay with that? Comments?
Nigel is indicating a tick for that, and nobody is seeking the floor, so I think we have some happiness with it. So please move on.
Okay. So that will be the first reading of 4331. 434, RFC 1591, also gives the IANA operator the ability to step in the event of substantial misbehavior. We're missing a part, but that part of the text that's listed there is essentially the same. So in the major edit that created the public consultation document, there were a few places, as in the previous text, where we split things up. So, essentially identical, but I guess, are we okay?
Nobody's indicating any displeasure with it, so...
Okay, 434, that will be considered the first reading. Thank you. 4341, it was cleaned up, but it's essentially identical. I will read it. The FOI Working Group interprets RFC 1591 to limit the IANA operator's authority to step in to where substantial misbehavior by the CCTLD manager A, poses a risk to the security and stability of the DNS, or B, involves the manager's failure after notice and a reasonable opportunity to cure to perform the objective requirements, i.e. to be on the internet, maintain IP and email connectivity, identify technical contact, and to identify an in-country administrative contact. Close quote. So some visual fixing up, if you will, but there is no change that should cause anyone any heartburn. Any questions?
No one seeking the floor. Nigel's indicating a green tick of satisfaction, so I think we can move on.
Thank you, sir. That will conclude the first reading of 4341 and it being accepted. Thank you. 4342, adjusting the term for IANA, a few capitalizations. Re-adding substantial misbehavior in there. It's essentially the same as there were required edits because we changed IANA operator, but otherwise it's essentially the same. So any questions?
Again, Nigel's indicating a green tick and nobody's seeking the floor, so I think we can say that's okay.
Excellent. 4342, this concludes the first reading, approved as is. Thank you. 4343, application and selection of CCTLD managers. The working group interprets RFC 1591 to require the IANA operator in the manager selection process be satisfied that the proposed manager possesses the necessary technical, administrative, and operational skills, judged by the standard of the ordinarily competent CCTLD manager. This requires the prospective manager to demonstrate that he or she or if a legal person it, one, possesses the requisite skills to carry out the duties of a manager skill test, and two, if designated, will have the means necessary to carry out those duties, including the ongoing responsibilities discussed above, upon receiving the appointment executoriness test. This is the same as what we agreed in V10, as noted in the yellow below. Any questions or comments?
Just one comment first from Daniel in the chat. He's asking, does this include the abilities of subcontractors? And I guess the answer to that is probably yes, but I'd defer to Becky on that.
Any implications for subcontractors, so long as
the
company doesn't say how you have to do it.
Okay, yeah, and as Nigel is pointing out in the chat too, the manager has the ultimate responsibility. So I think, does that make sense, Daniel? Are you happy with that? Yes, he's okay. And just purely drafting note too, I see we say the working group interprets. I think it should be the FOIWG interprets, just for consistency with other.
Excellent note, sir.
Okay, with that, can we move on?
Yes, sir. This will conclude the first reading of 4343. Minor edits as suggested, instead of working group, move it to our standard FOIWG. Thank you. Moving on. 4344. Application to incumbent managers. Although one could read RFC 1591 to limit the IANA operator's authority to step in to the process of selecting a manager, on balance, the working group interprets 3.4 of RFC 1591 to create, one, an ongoing obligation on the manager to operate the CCT without substantial misbehavior, and two, a reserve power for the IANA operator to step in the event that the manager does substantially misbehave. So there were edits to make it more readable, and designated manager versus incumbent. So any questions?
Nigel's indicating a green tick and nobody else is seeking the floor, so I think we have some happiness there too.
Thank you, sir. This will conclude the reading of 4344 and will be noted as accepted at this meeting. 435, does stepping in include the possibility of revocation? RFC 1591 identifies three mechanisms available to the IANA operator: delegation, transfer, and revocation. The FOI working group, as discussed above, interprets RFC 1591 to receive consent of an incumbent manager to any transfer of responsibilities. If a CCTLD manager engaged in substantial misbehavior is, minor grammatical correction there, is unwilling to consent and the IANA operator's informal efforts to address such misbehavior are unavailing, revocation is the only formal, we should remove the formal, mechanism that remains available to the IANA operator. Accordingly, the working group, which should be the FOIWG, interprets RFC 51 to permit the IANA operator to revoke a CCTLD delegation in appropriate cases where the manager has substantially misbehaved. So this is essentially identical to the text we had in V10. There are a few mechanical things we have to fix, like the FOI working group and a few other little things, but those are just to adjust it to make the text consistent with everything else we've agreed here. I do not think there is any change in meeting in what we were at. Over to you, sir.
I think that's looking good. Nigel's got a green tick, but indicating in the chat that transfer has a capital T in the fourth line, and it should be a lowercase t, which is probably right. Just a comment, you were indicating, Bernie, the desire to remove the word formal, and I think in this particular paragraph where you talked about IONA operators' informal efforts, the use of the word formal probably is appropriate just this time, as it separates it from IONA trying to help to resolve and then formally taking action. So unless anyone has any objection, I think it should probably stay there for this paragraph, and I think everyone's not saying anything.
I can see the logic for leaving it in. I can see the logic for taking it out. I have no issue either way.
Well, no one's seeking to object, so let's leave it there. Give it a
Chair's privilege. All right. Formal mechanism will stay in there. With the minor mechanical adjustments, this will be considered the first reading of 4351 and acceptance with the changes discussed.
Yeah, just before we go on, Bill has raised his hand, so Bill.
Yeah, I know this is my belt and suspenders kind of paranoia, but in the last sentence, accordingly, the working group interprets, blah, blah, to revoke a CCTO delegation in appropriate cases where the manager has substantially misbehaved. The showing of having substantially misbehaved happens within several limitations, including the ability to cure. I'm just concerned that if we just have a simple statement, we aren't showing all other processes and procedures that have to happen.
I'll leave Becky to that one, but basically I think as we finish going through it, we've spelled out quite clearly within this document exactly what a finding of substantial misbehavior has to imply. So I would almost ask Bill to reserve that question until we've gone through that, and if it's not addressed properly, then we'll be glad to deal with it.
Okay.
Fine with me.
Yeah, the expectation is the answer will come, so let's revisit your question at the end of the document, Bill. And with that, I think we can continue, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Moving on. 4352, given that the primary responsibility of the IANA operator is to preserve DNS internet stability and security, the FOI working group interprets revocation under RFC 1591 as a last resort option to be exercised in situations where a manager has substantially misbehaved in a way that poses a threat to the stability and security of the DNS, or where the manager fails to cure violations of the objective requirements described above after notice. So I have one note in here. I seem to remember not making a big deal about a last resort needing to be the last resort, if I remember correctly, Nigel.
I have no recollection of this whatsoever, but the only thing I'd say is that grammatically there can only be one last resort, but
That's exactly the point you made last time. Okay, as the last resort. So from analysis V10 in the yellow header, we have that this text is essentially identical. I would propose for consistency's sake to replace the A last resort with the last resort. And this goes, in part, some ways to answering Bill's question from the previous section. Over to you, sir.
And Nigel is indicating a green tick of pleasure with the last resort. And no one else is seeking the floor, so please continue.
Thank you, sir. This will constitute the first reading of 4352 and acceptance. 4353. The FOI notes, however, that the IANA operator will rarely be in a good position to evaluate the extent to which a manager is carrying out the necessary responsibilities of a CCTLD operator in a manner that is equitable, just, honest, or except insofar as it compromises the stability and security of the DNS, a competent manner. Accordingly, the FOI working group interprets RFC 1591 to mean that the IANA operator should be in regarding issues of the manager being equitable, just, honest, or except insofar as it compromises the stability and security of the DNS, a competent manner, and that such issues would be better resolved locally. So, essentially, this is identical with the exception of removing designated. Over to you, sir.
Nigel has his hand raised. So, Nigel.
Okay, I have a proposed change which was only a housekeeping change, but I think makes the thing read much more elegantly and would enable us to still regard this as the second reading. Can I just read how I suggest it might read?
Please.
According to the working group interprets the RFC to me, sorry, according to the FOIWG interprets RFC 1591 to mean that the IANA operator should not step in regarding issues of equity, justice, honesty, or except insofar as it compromises the stability and security of the DNS, competency, and that such issues would best be resolved locally.
I have no issue. It may actually be a good suggestion. Could you write it and send it to me by email? And unless other
yes.
people have...
Or shall I post it in the chat?
That'd be fine also.
That could be cut and paste later. Martin has his hand.
Unfortunately, I can't cut and paste for some reason, but never mind.
You can't cut and paste from voice to text. It's just quite difficult. Martin.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, I think I would like to have time to look at the text and review it. And therefore, I suggest we hold the second reading until next call.
I think yes.
This is not a second reading. This is a first reading.
But let's have a look at the Nigel suggestion alongside this original text and have a look and evaluate one against the other. I think this is probably what Martin's suggesting, and I like that idea as well.
Yeah, that indeed was what I was suggesting, Keith.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, but just to be clear, this is the first reading, and given the change, I have no issues with this.
Okay. I think rather than completely substituting Nigel's text, let's put it alongside the current text and evaluate both. Nigel, is your hand still up? Okay, I think with that we can move on.
All right, noted. Moving on. 436, defining substantial misbehavior. Misbehavior, the FOI working group interprets misbehavior in this context to refer to conduct involving the failure of a manager to, one, carry out the necessary responsibilities of that role, or two, carry out those responsibilities in the manner required by RFC 1591. Except for correction of working group to FOI working group and designated being removed, so we just have manager, it's identical text to what was agreed in V10.
Looking like a tidy up. Nigel's indicating a green tick of acceptance and nobody else is seeking the floor, so I think we can move on.
All right, this will conclude the first reading of 4361, will be noted as accepted. Thank you. 432, substantial misbehavior. The FOI working group interprets substantial misbehavior to involve misbehavior, bracket, as defined in above, that is either egregious or persistent and may include performing the necessary responsibilities of a manager in a manner that imposes serious harm or has a substantial adverse impact on the internet community by posing a threat to the stability and security of the DNS. Except minor adjustments, this is identical text.
Yep. And again, Nigel's indicating a tick of acceptance and nobody else is seeking to speak to it, so I think we have agreement and can move on.
Thank you. This will conclude reading of 4362, will be noted as accepted at this meeting for first reading. 437, process for revocation in cases of substantial behavior. 4371, the FOI working group interprets the intent of RFC 1591 to provide revocation as the last resort option for the IANA operator. The IANA operator should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to change conduct considered to be substantial misbehavior by the manager. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA operator reasonably demonstrates that the manager is unable or unwilling in an appropriate time frame to. So, before we get to the bullet points, this is essentially identical text from V10 except for the IANA name issue. Do we have... And it's been rearranged to make it more readable, but there is no change otherwise. Any issues?
Nigel has his hand raised. So, Nigel.
I have 2 points. One is I think the expression change conduct is too weak. It should be something like rectify conduct. And secondly, the by the manager bit is dangling, and it could be read in a different way, and I think you can delete the expression by the manager.
Very well, those are both good comments. Becky, do you have any points on that?
Yes, Vicky.
Can you hear me?
Okay, what I will do is... Yep.
Yeah, I was just going through the security line at the airport, so I didn't hear what was happening.
Okay.
All right, don't worry about it, Becky. I don't think it makes sense to ask this kind of question of you at this point. I will take on Nigel's comments and note them for people to go over that at our next session. And any other comments?
Yeah, Martin has his hand raised too, so Martin.
Thanks, Keith. I've got a little question about why we've moved away from the original language of resolves any issues considered to be substantial misbehavior. I could live with rectify any substantial misbehavior. Like Nigel, I don't like the wording change conduct, but I don't particularly like rectify conduct either. It's the addressing the substantial misbehavior that is the important thing here. And introducing a new term, conduct, I don't think actually helps the text at all. Thank you.
I think this is just a question of finessing the wording, and it sounds like between Matt and Nigel and Becky and Bernie we'll get there, so... I think please move on, Bernie, and note some finesse.
All right. Thank you very much. This concludes the first reading of 4371. There is no agreement. There are some changes required. We will redraft some text for the next meeting. Thank you. Moving on.
Well, we've still got the bullet points, the 4371, to consider.
Yes, that's right. Resolve specified material failures to carry out its responsibilities under RFC 1591 and or carry out those responsibilities required by RFC 1591, basically, essentially identical to V10, which we agreed to.
Nobody's offering any change there, so I think we're happy with the bullet points.
All right, the bulleted points to stand, thank you. But they are part of the previous point, so that'll be carried over. 4372, we're almost there, guys, and we will make it in time, I believe. If the IANA operator revokes a delegation, it should attempt, in collaboration with the significantly interested parties, the CCTLD will continue to resolve names until a suitable replacement is identified. Essentially identical text from V10. Any questions?
Just a note, I think Nigel said in the text on the last point, should not step in regarding issues of equity, justice, honesty, etc. That might be cut and pastable from the chat session if you want to look at Nigel's words later.
We'll take care of that, no problem.
And Nigel saying, suggests intends to revoke. If the IANA operator intends to revoke a delegation, it should attempt collaboration with.
No, we were very clear on that. This is if the IANA operator revokes. I think I understand the point Nigel is trying to make, but I think we were very
clear. Yeah, and I'm not sure whether, I think you'd want to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names until a suitable replacement is operational rather than identified. I mean, identifying the replacement doesn't mean that the replacement is serving the name, so I wonder if there's a bit of a finessing there to do as well. Nigel?
Oh, it's just disappeared. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'll do this from memory. The reason for suggesting intends, and it could just as equally well be proposes or some such thing, is revokes is the actual act of revocation. So if it revokes the domain, you want to have done what you're going to do before you do the revocation, rather than cut the domain off the internet and then start looking for an interim or permanent replacement. And secondly, I agree with you on the second point about identified. I think operational is better.
Yep, and Bernie's just indicated to me on Skype that he's been dropped off Adobe Connect altogether, and so we'll need to wait for him to come back in. I guess everyone has seen that the documents disappeared as well.
I mean, while we're waiting for Bernie, I would say I'm not going to die in a ditch over either of those two points, but I think when you agree that revocation is when you actually pull the guy down, then you really want to attempt to have a plan before you do that.
I have some sympathy to that view. I see Bill's indicating a I don't know what that sign actually means, a red dash. A feeling of neutrality over it, I would venture to suggest.
No, it means he stepped away.
Ah, okay. Okay, Bernie is back. I'll make him presenter. But he has no sound.
I should be back.
Bernie is back.
Aha! Okay, that was interesting. Desktop. All right. Let's lower that. Okay. So before I was so brutally disconnected, we were on 4372. The IANA operator revokes delegation. It should attempt. And we were last thing I heard, Nigel proposing some adjective to revokes. Where are we? And can everyone hear me and see the text properly?
Yep, no, we can see the text, we can hear you, and Nigel has his hand up to re-offer us the text. Nigel?
I would suggest that if you don't want to use the word intends or proposes, you change the if for a before.
I'm not there.
You don't like it?
Nope. It has the same problem as the previous point, is that it asks the IANA operator to begin discussions with the significantly interested parties before it actually gets to revocation. So let's note it as an issue. We can discuss it online, and I can get some contributions from Becky going when she's not rushing through airport security.
Okay.
Is it's all around notice. If the IANA revokes a domain, are we talking about it revokes it now, or it issues a notice of revocation to take effect in a certain time? Anyway,
yes, I believe that's what we're talking about.
And I see Bill has his hand raised. For Bill.
Well, there's even the more serious problem of someone who misbehaves within a 24-hour period and goes offline. It's the IANA's responsibility to have some sort of system in place to deal with situations like that.
I think the danger with that, Bill, is the old ICANN days of wanting data in escrow so that IANA could mount the zone file should that happen. So perhaps that's a pathway.
Yeah, I understand. There is it's a conundrum, but it is the ultimate situation could take place, and that's what their fear has been originally. It was a misbehavior issue of not being nice to people, and it's a misbehavior issue of losing your whole database. And I just bring it up because it's a concern. That IANA has already been raising with the new GTLDs, and perhaps something that CNSO or some other group should take in hand.
Yeah, I think we're getting into what Nigel calls creating new policy, literally. I think this text was hard fought, and the only thing here that we're trying to do is really to say that in the interim period between a revocation, and Lord knows there are a number of steps before we get there, and the time a replacement is identified, the IANA should try and keep that zone going. Now, this is with the understanding that keeping the zone going is a touchy situation if the incumbent has no interest in intellectual property on the database and a variety of other things. There are circumstances, we were just trying to frame this around, I believe it was the Libya case, where basically the operator, because of conditions in the country, could no longer, didn't exist anymore, and could no longer officially operate the domain and couldn't give approval to a transfer. So someone slaved a copy of the zone file and kept it running, well, IANA did, with the tacit agreement of everyone around the table until the new operator came along and took it over. So I think we're just trying to cover that part, and we're not trying to extend because it's very touchy for a lot of people. So I think it says exactly what it's supposed to say in my mind. Obviously, we have discussion. We'll note it as a point of discussion.
Okay. Thanks, Bernie. And Bill's indicating a green tick to that. So can we move on? Nobody else is seeking to raise any issues. So. Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. So 4372 has been read, not agreed. 4373, the FOI Working Group believes it is consistent with RFC 1591 and the duty to act fairly to recognize the manager has the right to appeal a notice of revocation by the IANA operator to an independent. This is essentially the same text from V10. Any questions?
Nigel's indicating a green tick, as is Bill, and nobody's seeking the floor, so I think everyone's happy.
This will conclude the reading of 4373, will be noted as approved at this meeting first time. 4374, as discussed above, revocation should only be considered if the IANA operator reasonably demonstrates that there are persistent problems with the operation of the domain, as defined in 4.2 above, or the manager has engaged in substantial misbehavior, as defined in 4.3.6 above, that persists despite the efforts of the IANA operator, using all means at its disposal, to fix the problems or modify the behavior. It's essentially identical. The IANA name issue is the only major change. We've substituted conduct and behavior, and this may touch upon a point we had previously, so I'll throw it open for discussion. 4374.
Nigel's indicating a green tick, and Martin has raised his hand. So, Martin.
Thanks, Keith. Just a little question again. It's use all means at its disposal to fix the problem, resting with IANA. But in fact, while IANA operator can assist the operator to fix the problem, I'm not sure that it's particularly reasonable to expect the IANA operator to be able to go in and fix the problems or modify the behavior for that matter. So I wondered why the change by introducing this terminology of fixing the problems and whether we can find something that is more about assisting the manager to fix the problems.
I mean, we could say all means that it's proposal to assist the manager to fix the problem, but why not? We just had a long discussion about this a couple of calls ago, and the consensus was that we use the existing language, but it's just unbelievable.
I don't know about the rest of people, but Becky, I'm having a very hard time hearing you.
I think I was struggling to hear that too. I think Becky's obviously aware of the issue that was raised. So let's see if Becky and Bernie, you can finesse the text a little bit to take account of that.
Yes, I take Martin's point. Unless there are other points, we'll consider 4374 first reading, not approved, some points for discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
That sort of concludes the interesting text. The rest is just background process, which is essentially boilerplate, and I don't think has any significant impact on what we're trying to do. So, but if people go through it and find some things that are special, please post them online and we'll be glad to look at those. So, sir, with 15 minutes to go in the call, I handed it back over to you. I'm rather pleased with what we got done.
We probably have
2 points to conclude. Does Bill feel any more comfortable after we've gone through the whole document with his question of several pages back relative to the limits for revocation?
I think I can live with it. I want to review it again before the next meeting. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it'll
absolutely.
It'll knock into a much stronger shape for the next meeting. But I think that's extremely well done. Thanks, Ben and Becky and everyone. Nigel's offering some applause in the chat. So I think we've made substantial progress and we've got substantial agreement. And now it is just a question of knocking the rough edges off the text and finessing here and there. So thank you, everybody, for your participation. Our next meeting, if there's nothing else to raise, I see Bill Semich is clapping too, giving some applause. Martin has his hand raised. So, Martin.
Just a little comment that when the document is tidied up for going through its finalisation, would it be possible to remove the extraneous text, the comparison against the original text? We've now got the document we can refer back to if we need to. I think it just will make it much easier to read and understand if it is already in its near final form. So my plea is, are we now at that stage it can be in its near final form? Thanks.
And Nigel's saying...
Sir?
Yes.
Well, what I proposed at the beginning of the document is that I would actually, for the next version, produce both, so you can use whatever one you want. I think we're almost there, but just to make sure everyone is comfortable, I'll produce both, and people can easily refer to the annotated one if they want to, if that's okay with everyone. While I've got the floor, just to be clear also on what we said when we were going through the definition of delegation, I will not wait to have finished cleaning up the entire document before posting several key points to the list for discussion, such as delegation and transfer. To you, sir.
Okay, and the screen tips appearing for the approach from Martin and Nigel. And no one else is raising any topics. So with that, thank you, Bernie. And our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, the 10th of October. I think if we engage in some list discussion, we could quite easily finish this document on that call. And that might then negate us from having to meet on Thursday the 24th of October, which is in the middle of the IGF Bali, which a number of us will be attending. So if we can avoid having to have that meeting, that would be probably quite good for all of us. So let's work hard on trying to get it all resolved in 2 weeks' time and on the list in the interim. If there's nothing else from anyone, I think we'll finish the meeting just 10 minutes early. And with that, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you all for your participation, and see you online.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.